Christ in me. Not about us, just it's about him. And so, thankful for that song. Today is Mother's Day. My mom is here, and so I'm thankful for her. Thankful for the other moms in my life. Many of you, like moms to me. We have a little gift today for every woman. If you're 18 or older, you're going to receive the gift of ice cream. So you should have got that from Jim and the greeters when you were coming in. But we've partnered with the Dairy Mart to be able to provide ice cream for all of the women in our church. So men, that's not for you. So make sure that you're the woman in your life that should have that gets that Dairy Mart. Our text today contains the story of a wonderful Christian woman. We'll see this in Acts chapter 9. So if you take your Bible and join me in the book of Acts 9. I got up here. I was ready to... The countdown. Did you see the countdown? Did that make you get in your seat? Because it made me hustle up here. I think it's a neat idea. But I got up here and I sat down and I didn't have my sermon notes. And so I thought, well, could I wing it? And I decided I should not try to wing it. So I had to go back and get my notes. Our text today contains a story of a wonderful Christian woman who served the Lord. She used her talents to care for those in need. We'll see that. Her story includes personal suffering and death, but also a miracle and glorifying God. So our text this morning is Acts chapter 9, 32 through 43. Let me pray with you, and then we'll go to those scriptures. Lord, thank you for the moms in our lives. Thank you for the mothers that you gave us. And Lord, I pray your blessing on them. I pray that we can be a blessing back to our mothers today, if that's possible. If they're still with us here on earth, I pray we could be a blessing to them. I pray you remind us of the very best things about our moms today. And we thank you for them. We pray you would bless them. Lord, help us now as we would go to the scripture and we would study your word and just hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we pick this story up is Paul. We've been talking about Paul, well, Saul, because his name hasn't been changed yet to Paul. But we've been talking about Paul and how he came to Christ and now how he's beginning to grow and he's beginning to teach others about Christ. But God is moving Paul back to Tarsus back home to Tarsus for the time being. Our story here in verse 32 picks up with Peter, and God directs him out of Jerusalem out to these coastal lands, out towards the Mediterranean Sea. So I got a picture of this. You can see where he was in Jerusalem, and then he comes out here to Lydda, and then he's going to go to Joppa. He had been up here in Samaria, where people were being saved, and that's where Paul was at the time. And so these are sort of the travels of Peter, and God moves people around. I had the privilege this week of speaking to most of you about how God is moving us around and how he's moving us in a few months. And it was just a privilege to talk with you or text with you or see you in person. And we love you. We love this church, and we feel your love to us as a family. And so we hate to go. And yet we feel this is what God has opened up and directing us to in his will. He moves people around. I was thinking about, so this morning I was thinking about you as church members. I believe every one of you over the age of 15 moved here from somewhere else. And many of you were downstate and you moved up here. And some of you have said to me, who would want to go back down, you know, to southeast Michigan? What's wrong with you, you know? But you moved here, else I wouldn't have met you. And so I think, well, now he's moving us. We just want to follow his will. I want you to follow his will. God may move you someday to some place that he wants you to go. And we don't know where that is, but he'll make it clear to you, just as he did to Peter. So I don't want to focus on that, but I thought I want to just at least address the elephant in the room. I feel like the elephant in the room. Anyway, pray for the deacons that they'll begin a pulpit committee together and just praying for God's leading in the future. But God has this all in his control. Amen? You believe? I mean, we serve a Savior who knows us and loves us and guides us. And so here we're going to see some of that in the life of Peter. Peter is going to have God open doors for him because the gospel is going out from Jerusalem, Judea. A man from Ethiopia has been saved in our story. Just a couple weeks ago we saw that. And now the gospel is going to go out to these coastlands. It's going to go up to Caesarea, and it's going to go out, start spreading throughout the world. Peter is part of this. Paul is part of this. And so God directs Peter out there to Lydda. In our text, we'll see God open doors for the gospel through suffering, but then healing in Jesus' name. The gospel message is being established through those first apostles. God does miracles through these apostles, and people are being saved. They're turning to the Lord. And what we see in this text today is there is saving power in Jesus' name. It comes back to him, who Jesus is, and believing in his name. When we see the very beginning of the book of Acts, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's not just for people in Jerusalem, that's for all people. And we see this gospel message, this power in Jesus' name, expanding. So if you would, look at verse 32. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda, or Lydda. Here, oh, I took the map down, but I'll bring it back there. The saints, these are people made holy not by their works, but by their faith in Jesus' name. He makes them holy. He sanctifies you. Maybe you don't always feel like a holy person, but in Christ, you are. You are made holy. You are set apart unto God to live for him. And here are the saints who live in this coastal plain area, getting closer to the Mediterranean Sea. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." Notice Peter doesn't heal him. Peter can't heal anybody. But he says, "Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And it probably in that time, you can't think of like a queen size pillow top mattress here, I don't think. Okay, it would be a mat. And he's saying, "Roll up your mat. Roll up your mat and go. Rise and go." Similar language to, remember when Jesus was teaching in the house and there were so many people, and so these four guys had a paralyzed friend, and they somehow haul him up on the roof, and then they break the roof open and they lower him down, and Jesus heals that man, and he also says, "Your sins are forgiven." Remember that story? So here he says, "Jesus Christ heals you." And immediately, just as when Jesus would heal people, immediately he rose. He didn't have to go to physical therapy. He didn't need an injection, right? The Lord Jesus has that power. He is risen. He has that power to heal. And that's what this man experienced, immediate healing after 8 years. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him. Sharon would be the sort of that region around Lydda. And what happened? They turned to the Lord. The result is not that they turned to Peter, that they said, let's have Peter be the high priest of our new religion. Let's have him. They said, "We're turning to the to the Savior that Peter represents, that Peter preached about and talked about and said, healing is in Jesus' name. And so people turned to the Lord. They turned. In verse 42, we'll see a similar expression, except people believed in the Lord. Those are the two parts of, they say it's the two parts of one coin. You repent, or you turn and you believe. You turn to the Lord. You're turning away from sin. You're turning away from anything else that you're trusting in to get you to heaven. You're turning to Jesus alone for your salvation. And that's what these people did. Two chapters later, we'll see those expressions linked together as missionaries preach the Lord Jesus, and many who believed turned to the Lord. They believe and they turn. You're now following after Christ. So we're not asking this question, did you pray a prayer? Can you write down the date that you prayed a prayer in your Bible? We're not asking about, did you pray a prayer? We're saying, are you following Jesus? When we talk with people about church membership, that's a lot of times people can't remember exactly when they became a Christian. They can't remember. They just know that sometime God was working in their heart and they believe in Jesus. And so my question is not, what was the day? Where, you know, do you have that date? What was your date of salvation? I'm not interested in that. I want to know, do you believe in Jesus today? Are you following him today? Have you turned to him? And if you have, you know it. I heard someone say, we talk to people and they don't always know. I don't know if I'm a Christian, or not sure if I'm a Christian. And they said, I've never met someone who didn't know if they were married or not. Are you married? I don't know. Either you know you are or you aren't. It should be the same with your faith. Either you know you're following Jesus or you're not. But have you turned to him? Have you made that commitment to Christ to be your Savior? That's what these people have done. They're turning their lives to the Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or whoever turns to the Lord shall be saved. There is saving power in Jesus' name. I want to just take a moment and pause here before we move on to the next miracle in this passage. And I want to think a little bit about this Aeneas. I can't even say his name. Matt, how do you say his name?
I said Aeneas.
Aeneas. Okay, I like that better. And when Matt was reading it, I said, that's how we should do it. Aeneas. So Aeneas was paralyzed before he was healed. 8 years of suffering, being disabled, discouraged. I remember going to see Bob Krause in Wolverine. Bob, now Pat is there, Pat and Allie. But I used to go, Bob Krause, he retired from Cadillac. I mean, Cadillac Motors. And he moved up here and they bought a place in Wolverine. And he had a surgery, a back surgery, and he was paralyzed for the rest of his life. And he was in one of those hospital beds. And at the end of his bed was a giant flat screen TV, one of the first flat screen TVs I think I saw, and it was a big one. And I used to go and watch Tiger games with him. He loved the Tigers, and so I'd sit there and drink Dr. Pepper and watch those games with him. And we'd talk about all kinds of things. He told me some great stories about working in the Cadillac and in the plant, and some of the crazy stuff that went on in the plant there. And we talked about the Tigers, and we talked about the Lord, you know. And here was someone who had that experience. They were either in a wheelchair or in their bed. And that was this man in this story, Aeneas. He was discouraged. It's very discouraging. And when we face a disability in our lives, it's real. Now, by faith in Christ, Bob Krause is now with the Lord. And he's healed of that affliction and that paralysis. But he had to suffer through that. By God's grace, in this story, a miracle of healing was given. Peter visits, and not in Peter's name, but in the name of the risen Savior, Aeneas is healed. He He's called to stand up and roll up his bed. And the people around were amazed because they'd known for all these years Aeneas couldn't get up and do anything. But now, for Aeneas, it would be better than winning the lotto, right? It'd be better than anything money could buy. How would you respond? Would you go walking and leaping and praising God? And most of all, in this story of Aeneas and his healing, Jesus is glorified because he is risen, and in his name, healing breaks out like a tidal wave on this man. And his life is healed, and people turn to the Lord because of what the Lord did in his physical life. They turn away from doubt or faith in anything else, and they turn in faith to Jesus. He is risen. He has all power. There is power in Jesus' name. Saving power. Well, let's go to our next miracle in this story. Now, there was in Joppa, and so Joppa's there on the coast. In modern times, it's called Jaffa with F's, but it's the same place, port city. There's a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas, and that's not really helpful to us because we don't speak Aramaic or English. But that word means gazelle. What did I say? We don't speak Greek or English. Okay. Aramaic or Greek. You're going to miss me. Anyway, we don't speak Aramaic. I think Aramaic is the Tabitha, and Dorcas is Greek. It means gazelle. So we think of white-tailed deer and how they run and how they just jump along. And so her name was Gazelle. What about this lady? She was full of good works and acts of charity. And we'll see a little later in these verses, she used her talents to make clothing. She made clothes for people in need, like the widows that we'll see in verse 39. That's her ministry was she could sew. She could make some things. And she did that for others, not just for herself, but for others. She was full of good. She was always doing this. She was always looking to meet the needs of other people. This is the gazelle. Well, in those days, she became ill and died. And we go, well, wait a minute. That shouldn't happen to her. I mean, she cares about others. She meets the needs of others. Why does she get sick? Why does she get sick and the gangs and the gang leaders are out there just living to old age? Well, we'll keep following this story. She became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Now, since Lydda was near Joppa, it's about 12 miles, the disciples, hearing that Jesus was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. And listen, are you with me in verse 39? All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas, the gazelle, had made. And there's F.F. Bruce. He's a great commentary writer, F.F. Bruce. He thinks that the widows were probably wearing the garments that Tabitha had made. They're probably saying, look, she made this for me, and we're going to miss her. She died. And they're showing the love and the gifts that Tabitha had made and given while she was with them. Verse 40, but Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And here's the source of healing. I want you to remember this. When Jesus heals someone in the Gospels, he just heals them. He just says, receive your sight. He just heals them. Everyone else has to pray that God would work. Just remember that. Jesus never had to ask the Heavenly Father to heal someone because Jesus is God and could just heal. But his apostles, they depend on the Lord himself. The healing was in Jesus' name, never in an apostle's name. So Peter puts them outside and he kneels down and prays because Peter has to have God's blessing and God's power. And so he prays and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." Very similar language to when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus. Arise. It's the same word Peter used for Aeneas, arise from your bed. Here he tells Tabitha, arise. It's also a word that's used to describe Jesus rising from the dead. In the book of Acts, that Jesus rose, the same powerful word of healing and resurrection. And so Tabitha, the gazelle, she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. So he puts them all out and they're crying and they're sad. And God, in Jesus' name, raises Tabitha to life. And she sits up. And again, there's no defibrillator, right? I mean, this is just the power of Jesus' name. And she's raised. And so Peter goes, "Hey, guys, come in here. You got to come in here." I tried to, this morning, we had two Baltimore Orioles. They came. I could tell Mary Bishop because she's been seeing Orioles. I know Barb's been seeing Orioles. And so last night I put out the Oriole feeder with some strawberry jelly. Didn't have any grape. So I put some strawberry jelly out, and this morning there were two Orioles at the feeder. And I'm like, Michelle, you know, trying to call it. Come in here, see the Orioles. This is Peter. He's in the room. And this woman who had died is now alive. "Hey, everybody, come in. Come in here." And so what happens? He presented her living. As Jesus, at the very beginning of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus presented himself alive to his disciples. Here, Tabitha is presented alive to the disciples who are there. What an amazing demonstration of God's power. In verse 42, "And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many," what? "Believed in the Lord, the risen Lord, because there is saving power in Jesus' name." And it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. And later in chapter 10, we'll see Simon's house was by the sea. Lucky guy. And his house was right by the Mediterranean Sea. And Simon's a tanner. Simon, some would think of him as being unclean because he worked with dead animal skins, being, you know, working in leather business. Peter, we'll see later, Peter's not supposed to worry about that. Instead, here you have Peter the fisherman and Simon the tanner. And, I mean, they're a couple of blue-collar guys, and they're hanging out here by the Mediterranean Sea. But I don't want to get too far ahead. That's for next week. We'll learn more about Peter at Simon's house. Tabitha, let's just reflect for a few moments on Tabitha, this perspective, this woman raised from the dead. Why do bad things happen to good people? If you were Tabitha, would you have struggled? I mean, during your illness, thinking, "Lord, why is this happening to me? I've been doing good works. I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to use what I can to help these widows and make clothing for them." Did she pray for healing? "Lord, please heal me. Please take this sickness away." Why does God sometimes not give us the answer we're hoping for? Well, Tabitha, the gazelle, who was quick to meet the needs of others, she was stopped in her tracks. The Lord allows this illness, and he even allows her to die. But this will turn out to the glory of the Lord, and many will believe on the Lord when she is raised to life. She's raised to health in Jesus' name. Remember when Lazarus is sick and Lazarus is dying, and Jesus says in John 11, "This illness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." If you were Tabitha, would you praise the Lord for working through your suffering, knowing that ultimately you would be blessed and your experience would turn out to be a great blessing to many others in the Lord? I think of Paul saying in Philippians chapter 1, his desire is that whether by life or by death, he would glorify God. And John Piper has really helped me understand, how can I die in a way that glorifies God? Because I know I can live to glorify God. I can be a blessing and help people, but how can I die in a way that glorifies God? And that's what Paul was saying. I want Christ to be magnified, whether it's in my life or in my death, that people are pointed to Christ. And so what Piper has helped me to understand is, do we look forward to heaven? Do we look forward to being with Jesus? Is that our heart? And as I sometimes talk with older folks, and they're ready to be with the Lord. I mean, they love their family and they love opportunities here, but they love the Lord and want to be with the Lord. That's how you glorify God in your death. Say, that person wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus must be awesome. Jesus must be greater than anything else, because that's where they really wanted to be, was with their Lord and Savior. I remember Doris Woolard. Oh, she wanted to be in heaven. She didn't want to be 90, and she lived to be 94, 95. She goes, I pray the Lord will take me. You know, I said, Doris, you got to wait. You got to wait your turn. There's more for you to do. Doris was up there at the assisted living home in Mackinac City, witnessing to the people at her dining table, trying to witness, trying to share the gospel, because the Lord wasn't through. Then he called her home. This suffering in our life is how we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus suffered to bring many sons and daughters to glory. So when we suffer for Jesus' sake, we can glorify him and impact others. You glorify him because you're trusting in him. You say, yes, I have this trial in my life, but I'm trusting Jesus in it. And people are, they're pointed to Christ. I want to show you, this is missionary John Payton. And in the 1800s, John Payton he left Scotland and he sailed to what was then the New Hebrides. Now it's called Vanuatu. This is Australia right here, and Papua New Guinea. All right, so here in the Pacific Islands, New Zealand. So this little chain of islands, you can't even hardly see them. Who cares about those people over there in those little islands? Well, God does, and John Payton did. And so he went, and they told him, they said, you'll be eaten by cannibals. And there were cannibalistic people on these islands, and they chased him. His wife died, his child died while he was there. I know that there were times that the native people chased him and tried to hunt him down and kill him. He'd spend the night in a tree, hiding up in a tree while people were trying to find him. Yet through his suffering and ministry, we read this. This is from his autobiography. At the moment when I put the bread and juice into their hands, each one of those converted cannibals grasped my hand and with tears of joy said, missionary, Jesus died for me. I love Jesus. How the thought thrilled my soul that once cannibals, they were now sitting at the Lord's table. And he talks about an entire island of people by the grace of God. The island of Anawa now worships at the Savior's feet. Nearly every man, woman, and child on the island has been led to forsake their idols and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a missionary, he suffered, but he went, and God worked, and people were saved, and people changed. And if you were to look up Vanuatu, the last time I Googled Vanuatu, it said their religion is Christianity. That that's been their history since the 1850s, 60s, that there have been generations of Christians following Christ, where before they were following idols. And so God can use our suffering, because there is saving power in Jesus' name. As we go back to our passage, we remember Jesus himself was raised from the dead. That's the gospel. Tabitha, the gazelle, she was raised from the dead in Jesus' name. And because of this miracle, many put their trust in the risen Lord. These healings that we've seen today, Aeneas and Tabitha, they also point to our salvation, where by faith in Jesus' name, we are raised to new life. We are given an eternal home in heaven. There is a day coming when there will be no sickness, no sorrow, no death. That day is coming in his kingdom. And we know that's true because we see his power recorded in the scriptures of what the healing power that he had. So as I close this morning to worship him, there is saving power in Jesus' name. Have you been saved by that power? Is your faith in Jesus alone? Because he's all powerful to save whoever believes in his name. Father, we thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for your power that you worked then. You're still healing people now. You still do miracles. And Lord, we know that in our spirit you heal us and you raise us in newness of life to walk in Christ our Savior. And we look forward to your kingdom where all there is life and health. And so today I pray for anyone listening who might not have trusted in Jesus.